It's Friday, August 19th, 2016. Dynasty Football Factory once again presents the Fantasy Flex, featuring Brad Wallace and the Roto Dad Nate Miller. As always, you can hit up the show over on Twitter at Fantasy Flex Pod. On this edition, Andrew Mills, host of the Fantasy Blaze podcast, is here to break down the Buffalo Bills. Also joining from Broncos Wire, Alex Acton. Stay tuned.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Flex. I am Nate over on Twitter at Miller_RotoDad. How can the people connect with you, Brad Wallace?
They can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, even Instagram at UGA Good.
All right, Brad, are you tired of doing mock drafts? You ready to get into the real thing?
Oh, man, I am so ready. I've had one real draft, and I am sick of mocks. Let's get the rest of them here.
Yeah, it almost gets to a point when you've done like five or six of these things. Like, how much more is there to learn unless there's an injury, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I hit up Howard Bender and Company's mock draft army one last time, I believe, over on Tuesday night. Wrote a summary of that for Sporting News. Went out yesterday. And, Brad, I sent that over to you. You're looking at the results. Tell me what you think about how I came away in that 14-team PPR draft.
Well, you went wide receiver heavy to start out, which is very common in most PPR formats. You took A.J. Green with your first-round pick, sixth overall. I like that pick. They're very high on A.J. Green. The Tyler Eifert injury, I think, is going to cause A.J. Green to have a very hot start to his season. You followed it up with Golden Tate in the second round and Julian Edelman in the third. Now, I like the Edelman pick. Tate, I know he gets an uptick in PPR. I'm just not quite sold on Golden Tate yet, mostly because of Stafford's tendencies to stare down that number one receiver. So, if it were me, I might have been looking elsewhere. But yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of the Golden Tate pick. At quarterback, you took Tom Brady in the seventh round, and then followed it up two rounds later with Phillip Rivers. I like the value on Tom Brady in the seventh. I think he's going to be a stud quarterback once he gets back from suspension, even in his older age. And Rivers should, sub nicely for the, first four games while Brady's suspended.
Yeah, and we've both talked about we're proponents of, even though Tom Brady's going to miss those first 4 weeks, he comes back in a week five matchup with Cleveland, I believe. And we like the idea of drafting Brady if you can get him. And, I mean, this was 90th overall in this draft. That's good value to me, especially when you might have a chance for an elite quarterback the last two-thirds of the season, or your fantasy season. Because there's so many quarterbacks falling, I came back, like you said, a Phillip Rivers, and I'm pretty confident in that quarterback situation. I definitely like in a PPR the combination from Brady to a Julian Edelman. But let's go back to Golden Tate, man. I mean, this guy's been pretty productive for the Lions the last couple of years, and here's the debate. Calvin Johnson, now retired. Most already know that. My Georgia Tech guy. I love Calvin Johnson. Hall of Fame bound, in my opinion. Was Calvin Johnson more opening things up for Golden Tate, or is Golden Tate just that good? Can he take over as a number one?
Golden Tate had some productive games when Calvin Johnson was hurt in the years past. I think defense is going to key on Golden Tate, and he's not quite the athletic, physical specimen that Calvin Johnson was. I think Calvin Johnson did a lot to make Stafford look better than he really is.
So you're the mindset the weapons make Stafford, not the other way around, maybe like a Tom Brady.
Yeah, I definitely think the weapons make Stafford.
All right. I mean, Golden Tate did finish top 10 in receptions last season, and a lot of people think about Calvin Johnson being hurt. Well, he played 16 games last year, so I like Golden Tate. This was right around 23rd overall in this draft. I like him at that value in a PPR. I'm definitely with you in a more standard scoring format. I don't like him quite as much, but you're not giving me much love on a Golden Tate pick, but maybe our first guest will. Host of the Fantasy Blaze podcast, Mr. Andrew Mills. How you doing, man?
I am great, guys. How are you?
No complaints from us. But how do you feel about Golden Tate, especially in a PPR in a deep league that's like 14 teams?
So he was a second-round pick. Did you go wide receiver for your first pick?
Sure, A.J. Green and then okay. Golden Tate.
Golden Tate in a PPR as my second wide receiver, I'm all about it. You're gonna catch flack from some people who are questioning the offense there. But I think that he's going to lead that team in targets. I think he's going to make plenty of catches in a PPR. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, I wrote in this piece over at Sporting News that I do feel like he can be a top 10 receiver, especially in this format. But anyway, man, you're a Buffalo Bills fan, writer for NFL Spin Zone and Number Fire, as I mentioned, host of the Fantasy Blaze podcast. You're Buffalo Bills. I mean, it would have been hard to imagine this time last year. Tyrod Taylor, after a productive season as the Bills' starting quarterback in 2015, he could be $90-plus million richer over the next few years. How are you feeling about that as a Bills fan, man?
So the contract itself, the way it kind of shapes up, it has that Colin Kaepernick feel to it, where the Bills, after this season, can get out and owe Tyrod no more than his 2016 salary. So they're basically... it's almost like a franchise tag for about half the price. If he pans out and everything goes well, they've got a bargain as a franchise quarterback. And if he doesn't do well in 2016, he'll be a free agent and free to sign anywhere else. I like the contract from the Bills' point of view. Tyrod was only due to make about $3 million this year, and given his production in 2015 and the fact that he's the clear leader of this team in the offense, that just wasn't right. So I respect the Bills for giving him a bump in salary. I think that was the right thing to do. And I'm excited to watch him in 2016. I'm not sold 100%, but I'll tell you what, given the bad luck and the horrible quarterbacking that I've seen with the Buffalo Bills for the last almost 20 years now, I'm more excited for Tyrod Taylor than I have been for anybody else that's quarterback this team.
Sure, man. In recent memory, I mean, an E.J. Manuel first-round pick, a Trent Edwards, a J.P. Lossman. I mean, those are just a few names that come to mind. Probably not ones you want to remember, right?
Yeah, I mean, E.J.'s still on the roster. It was a questionable pick when they drafted him, but they pigeonholed themselves where they, for whatever reason, they're happy to spend three first-round picks in the 2000s on running backs, but they don't want to spend one on a quarterback. And then when they finally decide they have to, it's during a year where E.J. Manuel is considered maybe a top option. So it's just bad strategy. It's just, classic Buffalo Bills.
So you're looking forward to seeing Cardale Jones, right?
he's exciting. So I mean, it doesn't sound like his accuracy is anything to be too excited about, but the guy's got a rocket. So I mean, if Tyrod goes down this year, I mean, it wouldn't bum me out too much to see Cardale take the field rather than EJ. No.
All right, Brad, where does Tyrod Taylor fall in your quarterback rankings for standard formats right now?
Tyrod Taylor comes in at number 12 in my quarterback rankings, and I think he's got top 10 QB upside. I definitely think he earned the contract that they gave him this year, last year, in the games when he was healthy. So if he can string together 16 games, I mean, you're looking at a quarterback that might even have some top 5 upside potential.
Yeah, sure. That kind of what you're looking at, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, so... you have to kind of, from a fantasy perspective, you have to like his floor. He averages about 40, 45 yards a game on the ground. The Bills will draw up designed runs for him, especially around or in the red zone. And he does a pretty good job of avoiding the big hits. The injury that he had last year was a horse collar tackle on a 20 or 25 yard fourth down run that he basically had to have or else they were going to lose the game. He picked up the first down. Ended up with a high ankle sprain, I think it was, and missed a couple games. But for the most part, he does a good job taking care of himself. So I don't really worry too much about the injury, even though he is a quarterback that likes to run around a little bit. And just based on, I mean, his ADP right now, he's a bargain where he's going. 10th round, 13th quarterback overall. I mean, I could definitely see top 10 QB upside. I could even see, top 7.
Oh yeah, I think that's probably fair, especially if he plays a full 16 game slate. This guy, and I'm not the only one to say this, maybe a poor man's Russell Wilson that you can get a much higher value on. If you're in a two quarterback set up for your fantasy league. I definitely like Tyrod Taylor. Let's take a look at some of his targets in that Bills passing game. And, of course, we have to start right at the number one wide receiver, the burner, Sammy Watkins. I'm a little bit iffy on the health scenario with Sammy Watkins. I want to knock him down maybe to a 16 to 20 in my view of wide receivers for a standard format, maybe a tad higher than a PPR. But, Andrew, how are you feeling about Sammy Watkins?
I'm higher than most people on Sammy. I think the guy is, as far as talent goes, I think he's top five in the NFL. If he is able to string together 16 games this year, I think that a year from now we're going to be talking about Sammy Watkins as a first-round draft pick. The thing that I'm more worried about for Watkins and his numbers is just the general disinterest that the Bills have in throwing the ball. They're so run heavy that it's just going to take away targets from him. But if you followed the Bills at all last season, you would know that in the latter half of the season, Sammy Watkins finally got targeted like a number one receiver. He saw 15 targets in their final game against the Jets, and that was a game that was pretty important to Rex Ryan. It was basically a game that kept the Jets out of the playoffs. And their strategy in that game that Rex Ryan was basically determined to win was to give Sammy Watkins 15 targets. And with those 15 targets, he caught 11 for 136. When he's healthy, I'm not sure there's a corner in the league that can cover him. And I'm not kidding about that.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with the talent level from Watkins. As I mentioned, with me, it's a health thing. And, yeah, if he stays healthy, I need him to fall to a third round in a standard 12-team league. Brad, are you willing to go higher in the third round on the Sammy Watkins?
Not this year, not now that he has the injury concerns. I mean, last season you look at what he did in 13 games. He had over 1,000 receiving yards on 60 receptions, 9 touchdowns, and most of that, you know, came later in the year when they actually started getting him the ball. He's shown that he has the ability, given health, that he could be, you know, top five wide receiver in the league. So he was a consensus top 10 pick before the injury. Now he's at number 14 in my wide receiver rankings. And like you said, third round, that's the way to go. I like Sammy if you take another receiver first, you know, with an Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, even an A.J. Green, coming back around, getting Sammy as your number two. I like that strategy a little more. If he's my number one, I'm not quite as comfortable with him, even in the third round.
Oh, sure. I like him as a number two. That's for sure. But I don't know if you're going to be able to get him there. Let's take a look at the rest of the pass catchers there in the Bills and the rest of that receiving core and even the tight ends. A little bit of a mess. My eyes immediately go to a Robert Woods or a Charles Clay, but Andrew hit on that for us.
Yeah, so Robert Woods is a guy that's kind of gone a little bit under the radar. Second-round pick out of USC back in the 2014 draft, I want to say. He's a guy that's very talented. He was injured last year for most of the season. He had a double groin tear, which just bothers me to even say. But the guy, I mean, that just basically sapped all of his explosion from anything that he could do, but he still played in 14 games last season. So he's a tough guy. Basically what we're looking at from this offense, they're gonna run the ball a ton, but when they do pass, the other team knows that Sammy Watkins is the primary target. So Sammy's going to get bracket coverage on every passing down. Robert Woods is going to see a lot of one-on-one, and if he's healthy, I think he can beat it. He's not someone you're going to be drafting, but don't be surprised if he does string together three or four consistent weeks where maybe he's catching a couple touchdowns and he goes over, you know, 75, 80 yards consistently. Another guy, Charles Clay, the tight end that the Bills signed in free agency in 2015, they gave him a pretty big contract. And they just didn't really use him a lot, or it's kind of tough to tell with him. He's on the field a ton because he's a good run blocker, but he only caught 51 balls last year. Three of those went for touchdowns. Bills fans are just looking for a little bit more out of Clay, but I'll say this right now. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he was the number two receiving target, target getter in this offense next year.
Yeah, sure. And as you mentioned there, 51 receptions across 13 games, and I believe he had somewhere around 75 to 80 targets. Brad, does Clay register for you as a fantasy tight end? I kind of like him maybe around 18 to 20 on the tight end board. How about you?
Yeah, so the range I have Charles Clay in, he comes in at number 17 in my tight end rankings. I think he has a good chance to be that number two receiving option in that very run-heavy offense in Buffalo. Maybe a LeSean McCoy or, dare I say, even a Reggie Bush with their pass-catching abilities might be that number three option behind him before some of the less talented receivers. but, yeah, Charles Clay, I think he's going to be a good backup tight end option with some upside or you know, maybe a late-round flyer. I don't know if I would be comfortable having him as my starting tight end. The rest of my team would have to be stacked. But, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about Charles Clay.
Sure, and I play in a 20-team league and have for a few years now with some other writers. That league goes real deep, and, you know, if I wait on tight end, Clay might be somebody I target as a number one, but that's a 20-team league, as I said. So I think we're kind of all saying the same thing there about the Bills tight end. Andrew, Brad mentioned the name Reggie Bush. So give us your excitement about that new Bills running back.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think that he's probably going to be cut once Carlos Williams comes back in week four. The Bills just have a ton of running backs. So you mentioned Reggie Bush. I think I heard somebody say LeSean McCoy. I just mentioned Carlos Williams. They've got Mike Gillisley. They drafted Jonathan Williams out of Arkansas this year. So they have a ton of running back depth. Reggie Bush, I think, basically what I'm hearing from a lot of the beat writers is that he's basically right now a kick returner and an emergency number probably three running back. I think the Bills will open up with obviously LeSean McCoy as the starter and probably Mike Gillisley as the number two. And once Carlos Williams gets back, I expect him to take that number two role back.
Sure, sure. And I contend that Reggie Bush, I mean, he'll be 50 years old, still making fantasy managers pay attention in some week. And you're gonna say, hey, I'm on a bye. I have holes in my roster. Here's this Reggie Bush guy walking around a walker but can still pull off a 4.5 40, and somebody's going to pick him up, and you're going to be unhappy. That's just kind of how I see it. I mean, Reggie Bush is just one of those guys. I'm like, I think I can forget about him. No, you can't. Nate Washington in New England would be another. But, yeah, you mentioned Carlos Williams, and, yeah, could he force Reggie Bush right off the roster? I tend to agree with that. Carlos Williams, before he cuts anybody, he needs to cut down on his baby weight. But, yeah, LeSean McCoy is the big dog in that Bills backfield. Brad, does he have another 1,000-yard season in him? I think he does.
I think so. Again, health being the main concern, I feel like that's the same with every different Bills player we're talking about right now, maybe say for Charles Clay. I think LeSean McCoy has a chance to do that. I think he's a good, you know, RB2, and if you wait on running back, maybe an RB1 for your fantasy squad. Just kind of depends what you want to do with your roster construction.
Yeah, Andrew, would you dare take a chance in maybe a 12-team standard format with two running backs? Would you dare take a chance with McCoy as your number one?
Yeah, I would. I would make sure that I handcuffed him, but I definitely would. So whoever's taking the starting reps as the Bills running back is going to be in one of the best positions as far as scoring fantasy points goes week in and week out. The team runs a ton. They had second most rushing attempts last year. Yeah, second most rushing attempts last year. So that's what they want to do. They want to play keep away. They want to play ball control. So whoever it is that's running the ball for the Bills, you're going to want them. It's just it's tough because you do have to spend kind of a high draft pick on LeSean McCoy. He's getting up there in age. He missed four games last year. But, boy, I'll tell you what, when he was good to go, the guy makes plays that no one else in the NFL can make. The stretch outside zone that's becoming so popular in a lot of places around the NFL, it's like it was custom made for LeSean McCoy. He's got vision and cutting ability that you don't see out of many other running backs. And then once he's in the open field, he's just got that breakaway speed. You're not catching him. I mean, he's just a special running back. You have to worry a little bit about injury, but that can be taken care of. You drop a I don't know 10th, 11th round pick on a handcuff, and you're protecting yourself at least a little bit there.
Sure, sure. I want to hit up on one more Bills player with you. And the flex here, we're housed by DynastyFootballFactory.com. And with that dynasty slant in mind, I have one potential sleeper on the Bills that I kind of like. It'd have to be way late in a draft in a deeper league. As I said, maybe a dynasty league, I can stash him. But real blazer out of TCU. The Bills drafted Colby Lisenby in the 6th round of this year's draft. Andrew, as a Bills fan, being kind of sarcastic with the Reggie Bush, but does Lisenby excite you at all?
You know, so not for this year. This is going to be kind of a redshirt year for him. I expect him probably not to he won't be active if everything goes well for the Bills, probably sure. at all this year. They've got a guy by the name of Marquise Goodwin who's kind of got the same attributes. He's just a blazer. He's actually an Olympic sprinter. So the guy, he's got one role, and it's basically to go out and run as fast as he can down the field, which is kind of what Lisenby is right now. It is Marquise Goodwin's last year on his contract. So the idea that kind of Bills fans have come up with is that Marquise Goodwin will, you know, hopefully he does well this year. Hopefully he catches a handful of touchdowns. That'd be awesome because he's a big play guy. But either way, the Bills are moving on, and Lisenby will be, he'll take over that role next year. You know, if Lisenby can develop into a better route runner and do more than just run nines all day, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a spot for him. This wide receiver core is made up of Sammy Watkins and then whoever else can come in and start making plays. Yeah. So, I mean, there's going to be opportunity for him. It's just up to him to grab it.
All right, man. Good stuff there from Andrew Mills. Well, before we let you go, man, how can the people connect with you maybe through social media or anything else? And maybe, you know, plug an article or two you got coming out somewhere.
Well, you can find me on Twitter. It's Andrew FBP. You can check out the Fantasy Blaze podcast on iTunes or Google Play. And, you know, you can basically check my Twitter timeline for all of my articles. I post a lot of analytical stuff from NumberFire from time to time. And then I'm going to be doing a lot of the – I'm heading up most of the fantasy content at NFLSpinZone.com. So it'll be like drinking out of a fire hose here pretty soon. Things are coming pretty quick. So check out the Twitter timeline. It's probably the best way to find my content.
Yeah, definitely do that, folks. Andrew, we'll see you at the auction draft Monday night for the Fantasy Flex Pro Bowl.
I can't wait.
All right, should be good. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks.
All right, before we get our next guest in here, let me tell you all about the all-new FanUp Network app. The guys over there have created a fantasy football resource that not only tracks teams and scores across multiple platforms, but also provides the latest player updates and injury news, all while saving you time. The app can be found for Google and Apple devices by simply searching keyword FanUp. That's FANUP. Brad, are you ready to touch on the defending Super Bowl champion Broncos?
Yeah. I love the Broncos. Let's do this.
Yeah, a lot of questions there. Defense is the name of the game. If you're in IDP, you know, or even just looking for a defense to run out in your standard fantasy league, Broncos might be a place to go. Joining us now from Broncos Wire, that's a USA Today blog, I do believe, Alex Acton. How's it going, man?
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you guys?
Perfectly fine here. How you feeling? Broncos fan, Broncos writer, Super Bowl in hand. Can they repeat?
Let's hope so. Nothing better than champ camp. So there's a ton of question marks, though, I will tell you that.
Oh, yeah, and we're definitely going to get to some. Glad to have you aboard here, man, because I need my questions answered. I'm big on Devontae Booker. I'm not big on C.J. Anderson or Ronnie Hillman. Tell me something good.
Well, here's something good, that throughout the Manning era, I think we ran the ball 44% of the time. I think that is entirely going to change. Obviously, Kubiak's going to look to a two tight end set a lot more. So you're going to see them running the ball way more than they have in the past. But Devontae Booker, good choice. He's taken first and second team reps from Ronnie Hillman. So it'll be interesting to see if Ronnie Hillman even makes the team. I know he's battling right now with Capri Bibbs for that final spot. So, I mean, from a positive standpoint, I think Devontae Booker is obviously a great find. C.J. Anderson, I know, I think I saw Matthew Berry that he had him ranked as like the 12th running back. I don't necessarily know about that. But, you know, they matched the $18 million that Miami was willing to offer, so they're going to give him the ball. I think I think he's going to see a lot of work, but so is Devontae Booker, in the sense that Devontae Booker has great hands, is willing to block, and you'll see him on a lot of third downs. So if you're looking for a find there, I think you're actually on to Devontae Booker and maybe a little bit less on C.J. Anderson. That's just my personal opinion, but...
Yeah, sure, and I think, Brad, you're going to just kind of third that. I'm pretty sure we all got about the same view on C.J. Anderson, right?
Pretty much. I mean, as long as the butt fumble is at quarterback, they're going to run the ball a lot. And Devontae Booker, with that three-down skill set, I think he could take the job from C.J. Anderson this year.
Yeah, I think he's going to enter the season as the number two. Alex kind of hit on that. Talented receiver, you know, good runner. I think he's the future there in Denver. I think they drafted him to be that. He was a beast at Utah, and I think he's ready to take off. Alex, as a fan, how successful is this running game going to be?
I mean, as a fan, I'd love to tell you that they just storm out of the gates and run for 250 every game. But
now, as a realist.
As a realist, I'll tell you that I don't – what is so funny is that the Broncos' offense was so abysmal last year that it almost has to be better this year. Like, there's only one direction to go. And I'd say that just based on a workload – the running game is going to be, well, I don't know, probably middle of the pack kind of running game. But I think obviously this team is very focused on running down the clock and making sure their defense is obviously the biggest part of that team. So I'd like to tell you as a realist that it's still going to be okay, but obviously not leading the NFL by any means, I wouldn't expect.
Sure. I want to say, moving on to the quarterback position, I actually liked Brock Osweiler. And, I mean, I will say that I'm not surprised the Broncos moved him on. I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have held on to him and made him the starter. Now, the Texans have paid him, and I don't really think the Broncos are going to do that. I mean, Brock Osweiler, the size and the strength at the QB position was everything. He probably could have been traded to the Denver Nuggets and played power forward. But he's in Houston now, and the Broncos, those questions are really big at quarterback. And Brad mentioned our favorite guy, the butt fumble out there, Mark Sanchez. But I don't think Sanchez is going to be under center long. Simeon, I mean, who knows? I like Paxton Lynch. If he can get it together off the field, maybe mature a little bit, you know, he's kind of in that Brock Osweiler mold. So maybe Broncos sent out one and brought in a different version of him. Break down that QB situation. How do you see it playing out this season?
Absolutely. Well, I think you're kind of right about Brock Osweiler. I think for the most part, fans loved him around here until there was that little skirmish in the offseason. But you fill a 6'7" quarterback by signing and drafting another 6'7" quarterback. So I agree. I do think Paxton Lynch. If I don't know if you guys had a chance to catch last week's game, but the quarterback situation, we have heard all offseason how grim it's going to be for the Broncos. I actually don't think it may not be as terrible as some might think. I know what Mark Sanchez giveth, he taketh away. He had one heck of a great opening drive, turns around and makes a poor decision on the next drive. But he didn't look too bad. I think he finished with about 99 yards. Trevor Siemian, who actually just got named the starter for this weekend's game against the 49ers, is going to get his chance to prove himself. I know that Kubiak came out and said that he could maybe make a decision at quarterback as early as maybe next week for opening week. And I know the fantasy owners would love to see who at least the quarterback is going to be with all these question marks. But I think if you're talking fantasy, I know keepers leagues, I think we can all agree here that Mark Sanchez and Trevor Siemian are just keeping the seat warm for Paxton Lynch. I don't see either one of those quarterbacks getting drafted, to be honest, unless you're truly, truly in a very deep league. I don't know. I'd be surprised about that. But Paxton Lynch people love him around here. I think that you had Brock Osweiler, who was tall and kind of ran like a gazelle, but Paxton Lynch has got some wheels on him. He's not too shabby running the ball. So we'll see kind of how the quarterback situation plays out. I think this weekend's going to be telling. I know that both quarterbacks are looking to maybe get about a quarter and a half each. And Kubiak could come out and mention something to the fact that he wanted a lot of the first team guys in there with both quarterbacks. So you could see a lot of first teamers playing close to halftime, even in game two of preseason. And I know you can take preseason for what it's worth, mostly a grain of salt. But we'll see this weekend maybe how this quarterback situation is shaping up.
Sure enough, and I mean, the Broncos, that offense as a whole has got a lot to show here in the second team. You know, fantasy owners definitely pay close attention there. Brad, Are you taking Mark Sanchez in a 32-team, three-quarterback league?
Oh, Sanchito doesn't really have any fantasy value whatsoever. Maybe the deepest of two-quarterback leagues, but probably not. I will be surprised if Sanchez lasts as the starter longer than, you know, week four or week five.
All right, Alex. I mean, you're originally from Colorado. You're a Broncos fan. You're now in school down in Florida. So the connection between those two states, do you wish the Broncos still had Tim Tebow?
Here is the thing. Tim Tebow is by far the most, like, exciting season you could ever picture and the most abysmal football you could ever picture all in one. It was crazy. It truly was the most exciting football I've ever watched in my life, but really 98% of the game was terrible to watch. It was all the final three, yep, 4 minutes. But I saw, I think last week, that he's maybe getting into minor league baseball. I wish him the best, but I am very happy with Paxton Lynch, I'll tell you that much.
All right, I'll second that. Just a little bit of fun there. Yeah, you brought up that season he got the Broncos to the playoffs, though, and let's be honest, that wasn't a very deep division then, as it might be now. But yeah, that was exciting. I definitely turned into a Broncos fan that season. I love Tim Tebow, and I love Tim Tebow for, I mean, he's a good role model. I got kids. You know, this is a great guy. No one's going to argue that. Maybe the quarterback skill's not there. Brad, you're a UGA alum. I am a fan of Georgia Tech. We're rivals here. Clean old-fashioned hate, and I love anyone that can tear up the Bulldogs. Brad, does Tebow still give you nightmares?
I try not to think about it. I used to hate Tim Tebow so much, but it's crazy how much, once he left the Gators, it flipped just because of how, you know, awesome of a person he really is, and
no doubt,
he's a winner, man. That's what he does. I mean, look what he did with the Broncos that one year. I mean,
no doubt.
That video though of him, his baseball swing is actually pretty good. I wouldn't be surprised if he finds a way onto some minor league team.
All right, all the best, Tim Tebow, but this is Fantasy Football 2016. We're talking about Paxton Lynch, talking about Mark Sanchez, even a little Trevor Siemian thrown in there. Who knows? Maybe John Elway will come out of the front office and strap him on. But the one thing is for sure in that Broncos offense, whoever's at quarterback is going to be throwing to some talented targets. Demaryius Thomas, another Georgia Tech guy. Now, Tech may, for those of you that are privy to college football, Tech may run an option offense, but they're putting out some wide receivers in the NFL, and Demaryius Thomas is the best of the bunch now that Calvin Johnson is retired. Alex, where does Demaryius Thomas rank? Is he still a top five wide receiver in the NFL?
I don't think top five anymore. I'd say, I don't know, maybe around that 12th, 13th wide receiver range. But most of that falls. I know last year he really struggled with drops, and I know he had some off-season or off-field issues going on, and he had a little bit of a nagging injury as well. So I know last season was maybe not his finest, but he's put together four straight years of over 1,300 yards. I know you had Manning in there throwing him the ball, which is a little bit different than what he has this year. But maybe not top five, obviously, but I will say that there's some value there based on the fact that people don't expect him to do well on the quarterback situation. I do think the quarterback situation may not be as terrible as people think. So if he falls to maybe some of those, the fourth round in some of those 12-team leagues, I think that's an absolute steal, to be honest.
Sure, and I think we're gonna have a lot of agreement here on the Broncos. Brad, Demaryius Thomas, I mean, I don't think he's a first-round guy anymore. Alex alluded to this. Are you willing to take him in a second round? I am definitely willing to take him in a third round.
Oh, definitely not second round. I mean, Alex took the words right out of my mouth. Demaryius Thomas struggled with drops heavily last year and mostly throughout his career. But if he falls to that fourth round, ideally fifth round, but I don't think that's very likely, he's going to have some value because that offense, I think, through the air is going to be a little bit better than people think. And hopefully that's more to do with Paxton Lynch coming in and having some success early as a rookie.
Yeah, and Demaryius, I mean, he's the big playmaker on that team. Now, they have another one. We'll get to him in just a second. But, yeah, we're all kind of pretty much in agreement on Demaryius. If you can get him in third, even or later, that's a good place to take him in a 12-team standard league. Emmanuel Sanders is the one I personally am concerned about. I just don't think any of these quarterbacks can facilitate making two wide receivers fantasy viable. If you're in a three-receiver league, maybe a flex spot, Sanders starts being relevant. I don't like him before a sixth, maybe seventh round, and I'm probably just avoiding him altogether. Alex, what can Emmanuel Sanders produce with these quarterbacks?
Kind of agree on that situation. That I think if maybe you can find him for a flex position possibly, I think he adds a lot of value. But then, you know, once again, it kind of all falls into who's going to be throwing him the ball. You don't know. There's so many question marks at the quarterback position that I know that it kind of obviously spills over into the wide receiver position. I don't think he's going to have nearly as good of a year as he even had last year. And I don't know. I'd say that you're pretty much spot on. Maybe eighth round I was leaning towards. I don't know. I don't know how much value you'll find with Emmanuel Sanders. They're going to do a lot of two tight end sets. So I don't know. I kind of right there with you.
Sure. Brad, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, 1,400 to be exact, 2 years ago for Emmanuel Sanders. Can he make it a third in a row?
I had him in that 1,400-yard season. Absolutely, you know, did wonders for my fantasy team that year. But, no, he's definitely not going to come anywhere near close to that this season. And pretty much none of my fantasy rosters will have Emmanuel Sanders on them.
All right, Alex, in Denver, who's the sleeper?
100% Virgil Green. I was shocked to see that he didn't even have an average draft position. He has been at the Broncos. He knows the system. He's been sitting behind Julius Thomas, Owen Daniels. He's been behind some of these guys. He's learned from them, obviously, but he's primarily been known as a blocking tight end, and he has shown through training camp that that's far from the case as well. He has hands. He can run on the field. He's athletic. He didn't see a ton of playing time, obviously, in game one of preseason, but he had three catches, I think 26 yards. Two of them were on third down, so the Broncos kind of showed their hand as to what they're going to look for in the tight ends this year. Him and Jeff Heirman, I think both of them are going to be sleepers in the tight end position that I don't think many people have even heard outside of Denver who they are. So I think if you're talking straight-up sleeper, I do think, obviously maybe not as your tight end one, but if you're looking for a sleeper tight end, especially if you don't have any Broncos fans in your league, I'd say Virgil Green is by far one of the best choices.
All right. Alex Acton from Broncos Wire. Thanks a lot for doing this, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Before we let you go, just take a second to kind of tell anybody where they can pop some questions off you, maybe relating to the Broncos, the NFL, fantasy football in general, and maybe some articles you got coming down the pipeline.
Probably the easiest place to reach me is on Twitter. You can find me at ALACTON, just the first two letters of my name and my last name. And we have a ton of great writers over at Broncos Wire, a lot of talented writers. I'm just trying to keep up with them. but we'll see. We're putting out some good stuff this year, so make sure to stay tuned.
Oh, yeah, definitely check out Broncos Wire for your Broncos news, folks. Have a good one, Alex.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, Brad, big breakdowns of the Bills and Broncos. Maybe some teams that make people think of defense, but there's a lot of offense to be seen here. Is that about it for you? Anything else fantasy football-wise to hit us up with today, Brad?
I mean, it sounds like you found your 20-team late-round sleeper tight end in Virgil Green.
maybe five or six touchdowns. Maybe I'll have him as a backup. Who knows? That league is nuts. But for now, that's about it for this episode of the Fantasy Flex. As always, please be sure to hit us up with any comments, criticisms, or questions over on Twitter at Fantasy Flex Pod. You can now check out the Fantasy Flex at our new home, DynastyFootballFactory.com. Or if you prefer, all episodes can also be found on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or Blog Talk Radio.